Welcome to SV Pod, back from Kiowa Island. Stanford Steve is here. We have cicada conversation, very important. We have beefy beef in golf. We have some thoughts on what happened last week at Kiowa. Playoff talk, fans back in arenas. Last week was the week sports came back for me. I think for a lot of people too. It felt like we're getting there. Like, actually, we're there. And in Kiowa, everyone was there in the fairway on 18 with their phones out filming. Steve would like a word with you. We'll get to that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Stanford Steve, Scott Van Pelt, back together again. We were at the PGA Championship last week. Phil Mickelson won. Great. Fine. Harry Higgs is in the Masters because he finished tied for fourth at the PGA Championship. And so the big rig is now playing at Augusta. It was astounding. He made birdie on 17 and 18, and I lost my mind. He made birdie on 17. And then, like, he's on 18, and I'm just like the big rig. And then he buried it. Like, 17 and 18 were the hardest holes in the golf course, and he went birdie, birdie. That was on Friday. But then he played great on Sunday, and he finished tie for fourth. That gets you into Augusta. He's already sorting out practice rounds with Phil on Twitter.
Yeah, and now he's looking to be a mediator, I think, for the match. How about that?
Mickelson winning at 50, this incredible story. It's history. And that was the story in golf for 24 hours. And it's over because now, like, Koepka rolls his eyes being asked a question about DeChambeau. Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel asks that. That wasn't on air, but it got out. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. How'd that happen? And now DeChambeau, like, let me give you just a quick thought, all right? Wherever you stand on him, like, if you side with Brooksy or if you side with DeChambeau here, DeChambeau doesn't do himself any favors, all right? I get it. I mean, it's a never-ending workout in the garage, and it's sort of like this sort of whole entourage. Everything's broadcast to the world and blah, 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 blah. But, like, he's got to be looking around going, what did I do? Like, the TNT announces they've got this match. It's Brady and Mickelson against DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers. And Brady's firing at DeChambeau on Twitter. If I'm Bryson, I'm looking around going, "What did I do to you?"
I will say this: we all saw the video of Brooks and the eye roll.
Yep.
But what I can't get out of my head is we do a segment, Things I Hate, right?
Yep.
Every person has a person that they feel like that towards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess Brooks wanted people to know how much he does not like him. That's the way I look at it.
Clearly. And the thing about it is, like, golf, like, beef is what makes, like, the NBA is fueled by that. Like, NBA Twitter and the beefs that go on between players and all of the petty squabbles. Like, it's funny. Those guys just don't give a But, like, golf is supposed to be sort of this, you know, honorable gentleman's sport and this and that. Like, Koepka is letting you know,
yeah,
that ain't my guy. And here's the thing, Steve. That's fine. We don't have to be buddies.
No.
But when the U.S. Ryder Cup team gets together in the fall and they're all in a team room, DeChambeau is a talented guy. And Koepka's a talented guy. And Steve Stricker's got to be looking around going, oh, for God's sake. How am I supposed to make this work?
Stricker's, I mean, like the nicest guy in the world, too, right?
In the world. Like, he's such a, oh, geez, Midwestern guy. Just sort of, you know, come on, guys. We're just going to try our best here, and let's just be just get along and be friends. Like, he is such a kind, gentle soul. And you've got Koepka. Like, he sent Rogers a tweet on Wednesday, sorry, bro. And it's like, oh my God. Like, this is, and again, it's just like, I'm doing one big thing on SportsCenter. I'm like, they got to fight. If this were high school, you just, look, we got to meet in the cafeteria. And then maybe one of our friends shoves somebody. And then it's not a real fight, but we just, like, this is like hockey. Like, you got to just say you want to go. And it's just like, we know we're going to do it. We both go five for fighting, and then it's done, right?
Yeah. 3 o'clock high. Let's there go.
But it's golf, and no one's going to fight. It's wild, man. Like, it's say, I was reaching out to some players, and they were all just like, whoa, bro. Like, I think they're
everybody
all.
Everybody had the same reaction when you saw the Koepka tweet. Like, it was like, oh.
Wow. Yeah, this is really personal. And
he did it.
Yeah, I mean, he said the quiet thing out loud and hit send. And all right. But, I mean, they're both really talented guys, and they're both going to be in the team room at Whistling Straits in the fall. I mean, I'm trying to make that one make sense. But it was before this became the story. The story was Mickelson. The story was the big rig, because Colton Ost, they dubbed him the Big Beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think Higgs said he likes the Big Beautiful better. And I'm like, totally understand that.
Yeah.
You understand that. And this microphone right here, you will be called the Big Rig, because you dubbed him the Big Rig at the Safeway. Yeah. And it's Big Rig Higgs. And it's like his, you know, his thing is he's a bigger dude, but it also Big Rig Higgs just sounds like it sounds like a rapper or a wrestler or the name of like a trucking company, anything. I mean, it could really be anything, but anything awesome, something great. It would, whatever it was, would be great. Big Rig Higgs. And I was honestly, like, I was psyched for him, and I wanted to make the point. We love him because he wears 7-Eleven sunglasses and his shirt's open and he doesn't give a f-. Mm-hmm. Like, he's out there letting it rip. As soon as he made it, he's like, I called that. and I'm like, I bet you did, bro. And we had a great talk on the range. Like, he gets it. He gets our show. And I'm like, this isn't us like trying to be jerks. Like, we're all about you. We got your back and we love it. But like, he can play. And it was really cool. Like, he earned the right to go to the Masters. So that was a really cool thing too. You got questions. Let's go. What do you got for me? All right, fire.
First off, I saw somebody say this. How doesn't Tito's have a sponsorship for that guy? Well, I mean,
Tito's.
Let's get it going. Tito's, hit us up if you need it too.
Hit up the big rig. Hit up the big rig. Just put it on the bag. Put it on the shirt. Put it on the collar. It's wide open. Collar's wide open. You know that. Just put it on his chest. Whatever you want to do. All right, next.
How tired are you?
I'm good. We got a couple days off. Yeah, man.
Does anybody check on North? You guys were logging hours, man.
Yeah, we saw the sun rise and set on Thursday from the same, like, literally, I watched the sun rise and set from that seat on the 18th. But I mean, look, you could look out in the ocean. It was, there's no complaining here. North's a guy walking 18 holes morning and afternoon. I'm like, they gotta settle down here. We gotta ease our man into it. And he's so good on the golf course. It's a wonderful group. We enjoy each other's company a lot. And here's the one thing I'll say about us. And I'm not a big self-promoter. It's not my thing. That group, we do one event a year. Uh-huh. And it's pretty friggin' good. Yep. Like now here's the thing I'd say about that. Sean McDonough has had a legendary career in broadcasting. Dave Fleming is a tremendous play-by-play guy. Bob Wischusen, a tremendous play-by-play guy. I'm the idiot that's on 18 just playing sort of traffic cop. Every one of those guys is better than me as an announcer in terms of having the chops and understanding how to do it. And then I'm sitting next to David Duvall, who I just think is such an interesting guy. Like, he'll tell you what he thinks. McDonough asked him Saturday morning, do you expect Mickelson to play well? He said, no. And he wasn't trying to be a jerk. No. He's just like, he's 50. I don't think he should. No, this course is hard as hell. I don't think he'll play well. And then he did. He said, but it wouldn't surprise me. Nothing Phil does would surprise me. But our group, and I could keep going because all of the different people that are there throughout the week, and we had Gene Wojciechowski, and we had Marty Smith, and we had down on the golf course, you had Billy Kratzer and Susie Whaley and Andy North. And if I'm forgetting anybody, I don't
– McGinnis.
Well, yeah, Big John McGinnis and Colt Nost were down there too.
Yeah.
McGinnis was a great ad. Colt's been – anybody like in the golf space, you know Colt. He's really, really a fresh and fun voice. Like all of us together, we get along. There's not a lot of – you know, there's no ego outside of me. Obviously, I make everybody, you know, call me sir and all that stuff.
Did you have to pay a bet to McDonough about the Bruins caps?
That was no, a- I just – they. No. From the minute I saw him, they didn't win again. I saw Keegan Bradley at the hotel after game one, and I'm like, get ready, kid. You're about to taste it again. He's like, yeah, okay. And they never won again. So that wasn't great. Shout out to Keegan, by the way. He made a birdie on the last to finish even par, finished top 20. May or may not have been significant to some. But, okay, I interrupted. I just was bragging about our crew. They do an awesome job. Mike McQuaid, our leader,
yes.
He sets the tone, and I'm proud of being. I'm proud to be part of that group.
How awesome is Kiowa?
It's so good. It's so, so good. Seth Wall from the PGA of America, I said, look, I know that like schedules get planned way out in advance. They have to figure out how to go there every 5 years or 10 years. It should, Kiowa should be the PGA of America's Pebble. Like they should go there every 10 years. Like it's a, well, it's a great, hard golf course. Like the wind's going to blow. And whatever direction it's blowing in, it's going to be hard into the wind. And like you saw what it was. I mean, one Phil was six under. By the end of it, like even par was top 20. That's a hard, good golf course. And it's no joker is going to win out there. No joker. It's a really good venue. People on Sunday were housed. Okay. They were wrecked. And like the scene on 18, it got a little out of hand. I don't want to be the get off my lawn guy because I loved seeing the people and it was the enthusiasm was cool. You can't
touch the players, guys.
Don't trample people, man. Be better than that. Well, people have had 20 cold beers and like there was going to be a reckoning on Monday morning between sunburn and hangover for a lot of folks. But it's that place is really, really good.
How many more people were there than 12,000?
Infinity. It was a lot of folks, man. And I knew there would be. But this weekend in total, Steve, felt like the weekend sports came back. Between the fairway on 18, the whole scene all week, Phil winning, people going berserk, and like the garden when they had game one against the Hawks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just felt like, because a lot of those NBA arenas went from not many people to all of a sudden it felt like they just were like, the hell with it. Everybody, like Nashville and Carolina and the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs, like they're packed.
Florida-Tampa is nuts.
Packed.
That series. They hate each other.
Yep.
That's been my favorite series so far. But, yeah, it's people are about like, and that's what I said, it feels familiar. You know, I was thinking about the Knicks, like, and everybody making a deal about Trae Young. You know, with the crowd telling them to shush and then the mayor of New York doing, but like, this is what I think of when I think of the Knicks, like the other team's best player coming in and just breaking Knicks fans' heart. Vince Carter did it. Reggie Miller did it. And obviously Jordan, but that's what it is they come and the stars shine on the biggest stage. And it's been awesome.
There's a reason, and I've been critical of the Knicks because mostly for this century, they haven't been good. But the Garden is still the Garden, and it's still a place where the best in the world want to come show out and shine, and it brings out the best, and it always has throughout my life anyway. Like, you go in there, and you want to play big, and you saw it out of Young in that first game, and we're taping on a Wednesday when they're playing the second game. So if you're wondering whatever happens there, why we aren't talking about it, it's because we're talking about it as it's getting ready to go on. But between, you know, being down there, and it was awesome just because like at night you're watching playoff games and the play into the playoff, which by the way was, I mean, I don't know how much better you could get than the Lakers and Golden State and that game. And then Ja and Memphis going into Golden State and winning.
That was, I mean, nuts.
It really was, man. And look at that. Look at Memphis's construction, man. Look, they got a bunch of homegrown young dudes that they drafted.
And I just want to say this. I'm really happy for Grayson Allen because That dude, I know he put himself in some situations in college. Nobody thought he was going to do this. Nobody.
You know what? You're right. You're right. You're right.
I mean, that start of the overtime, those two threes he hit, like, at Golden State, was that was nuts. But I'm just like, I there's stories where you don't think they're going to happen. And like, or I'm just really curious, you know, always talk about, I'm a Duke fan. Like, he always had the size. He was the best player. He won him that national title against Wisconsin when he came in, and everybody doubted him. And here he is, man, making big plays in huge spots. So I just want to say happy for him.
Hey, Travis, you know what this is about right here? Two words. The brotherhood. He made big time shots in that game. So last week was awesome. Playoff games at night, a major. Now this week we have beefy beef in the golf world. And I got to own up to something, Steve.
What?
I said it. Who did I say was coming out of the West?
I was going to ask you, who you think is going to win the West?
For those of you that missed it on SportsCenter, I said it. I said it. I went out on record. I said the Clippers were going to win the West. Okay, so here's what happened. So far, not very good. They played two home games. They've got beat, both of them. Luka is just shredding them. How awesome was it to see Dirk in the building and see Luka get – I love that. When I'm done and I look back at my career, I'm going to be like, Nowitzki is going to be high on my list of my favorite athletes. And then when he came on and talked about playing billiards on a radio show, me and Russillo, God, that guy's awesome.
Annihilated.
No question. Skinny jeans, cowboy hat. No, I'd like another lager, please.
I just think of him, and I just think about what his crew must be like.
Deep.
Like that's got to be just a blast.
Yeah, like a guy that's probably like a legitimate hitman, has killed people, but probably – like, but he, you know, you don't ask questions. Like, he's got, like, he's probably got a hitman that's just a friend, just for there to make sure nothing bad happens. Because he's got the whole European angle that none of us, you and I, don't know about that. I love Nowitzki, but Luka is balling the hell out. And here's the thing about the Clippers, man. Like, a lot of people have crushed them through the years, and they've earned it. And the thing that they have to deal with if they lose again is you have to eat every single punchline that's coming at you, every one of them, because you traded everything, OKC, to get Paul George. And when Ballmer got Kawhi, and it's the pretty damn cool drop, and we've had some fun with that, like, I mean, I don't fault Ballmer. The guy went out and they made moves to try to get guys.
Yeah.
But when you don't play guys during the season and you treat the regular season like an inconvenience and you don't give yourself a chance to develop a real identity and something that you know you are, right? What do we talk about often about teams? The best teams, maybe they're not the most talented, but the best teams are teams who know who they are. Mm-hmm. And that might be something you eye roll. You're like, what does that mean? It means that when push comes to shove, you know what you can count on. And the Clippers can't be bothered to play. Like, how many times are the Clippers on our air and Kawhi's not playing or George isn't playing or they're both not playing? Ah, well, we'll get to the playoffs. And do what? Get beat by Denver like you did last year? Or now show up and go 0-2 at home to Dallas? Like, if you get run out, after you punted that last weekend, I crushed Oklahoma City. And the Clippers managed to play two teams who were actively trying to lose, and they lost to them. The Clippers lost to Houston and OKC back-to-back so they could duck the Lakers. And I remember saying at the time, you got to be careful what you ask for, because guess what you get? Well, now you get Dallas. And if they run you in the first round, then you deserve all of the crap you get. And until you prove you're something more than this, then that's what you are. You're to be not taken seriously. You're not to be given any benefit of the doubt. You've earned none of it. And that's it. Mm-hmm. The end. Now, they got either two games. They could have two games left and it's over, or they could fight back. They could punch off the ropes. But what have they ever shown us to make you think they're going to punch off the ropes? Particularly when Kawhi and Paul George, how'd they play in game two? Pretty well.
Yeah.
Like
Kawhi was stupid good.
Yeah. And guess what? Wasn't enough.
Nope.
So, you know, I mean, I can make fun of myself for like, why did I have trust? I have no idea. I just took a flyer on the Clippers. Well, you guys, you deserve all of it. If you guys flame out in the first round, you will have lost to Denver and Dallas after you didn't try. You out-tanked tanking teams to avoid the Lakers. And guess what? The good news is you're not going to have to play them because you get run in the first round by the team you got because you ducked the Lakers. And, like, I mean, I can't even and by the way, and you traded everything in your future to be this right now. And, by the way, Kawhi could leave in the offseason if he wanted to. And he's shown no loyalty to anything or anybody other than himself, which is fine. He can be a mercenary. Go where you want. But, man, like, you're a Clipper fan, and I don't necessarily know that I know any.
Charles is still looking for Clipper Darryl.
Well, I mean, I tell you what. Like, I'm not hostile towards him. It's like disgust. Like, yeah. You guys treat the regular season like an inconvenience. Like, you earn the right to be above it and rest dudes. You rest dudes to be good now. And you got beat twice at home. Like, they, and I'm not going to bury him because I made that mistake in the past. Like, I buried Toronto with Kawhi when they were down 0-2 to Milwaukee. And I said, that's a wrap. And Toronto came roaring back. So they could, but I'm saying, I'll put it this way. They better, yeah. They better, or else you guys are just, I mean, I don't want to hear any of it ever again.
You won't pick him again. I know that.
No, I sure won't.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What are you watching more, hockey or basketball?
The Caps won game one. And then they had a late lead in the third, game two, gave the lead up, lost in overtime. Had a lead in the third, game three, gave it up, lost in overtime. They didn't win again after game one. So the thing that happens with me in the Stanley Cup is I go through a period of mourning after after the Caps lose. And also, I hate / respect Boston because they're really good.
Yeah.
And Bergeron, I mean – he's good. Marchand, God, I hate that guy. But it's the same way I hated Redick at Duke, because it's with absolute respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest compliment I can pay him is that I hate him. God, he's good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a perverse way to say it. But as a fan of the Caps, I'm like, God, that guy, I just want to kick him.
So good. That window he got the game winner in.
Do we have to talk about it? Well, it was such a great.
What other hockey? You've been watching. I've been watching all the hockey.
No, me too. The series have been so good. I'm just saying, like, I get disgusted that I don't get to watch it because there's nothing more stressful / fun than watching your team play overtime hockey. Nothing is close to that level of stress. And then when it ends and now you don't have it, you're like, well, that sucks. But like and again, we're taping on a Wednesday. Like the Wild go to Vegas and get a win. I like that Wild team. They've been fun. I don't think they can.
They're a spunky bunch.
I don't think they can beat the Golden Knights. But you know, every series feels like it's been fun except the Caps that got run out.
We need Vegas and Colorado to play. We need that series.
Do you need that for your pocketbook, or do you need it as a fan?
No, just as a fan. We need to see that. We need to see that series.
The NHL needs Edmonton to not blow leads so we can see McDavid play more than a couple of games.
I tried staying up the other night. I was second overtime. I couldn't do it. I was toast.
Yeah, well, I made it. I stayed up. I had a couple of bad ones because I stayed up late. And then we had that ESPN Plus 5:15 wake-up call which came on the back end of Golden State and the Lakers. Ooh, that was a
Wednesday
tough one.
Night. Yeah, that was late.
And the Caps lost an overtime game, so there was a lot of emotional stuff going on there. But I feel like the games have been excellent. There've been a few, few blowout type losses or whatever, but mostly both playoffs have been really, really good. Fans and arenas, awesome. You know, like ratings. I don't know that people even care about ratings, but like I feel like they're going to be much better. I feel like arenas make watching it better. Like watching game in an empty arena, it just sucks.
Yeah, the hockey in Canada is brutal.
It sucks. So the fans make it so much more of a dramatic televised experience. And, there's phenomenal storylines across the board and all of them.
Speaking of storylines,
yeah,
it's been everywhere. And I haven't seen you in, 10 days?
It's been a while. I missed you, pal.
How about these cicadas?
I gotta ask.
Insane.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know. For our people that are listening, like I don't know, like maybe you're in Winter Park, Florida, or Austin, Texas, or Atlanta, Georgia, or Cleveland, Ohio, or Minneapolis, or Portland, or Phoenix. I'm going around the country to all areas. I don't know. Are they everywhere?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but I'm going to tell you what.
Go ahead.
In my neighborhood, the over-under on cicadas is approximately 2.2 billion.
I have a question about it.
Yeah.
Do they have to make that much noise when they're having sex?
Bro, 17 years you've been in. Come out the mud! I came out the mud! If you've been buried for 17 years and you got a brief window and all you're trying to do is holler at somebody, and I've seen these videos of these poor mutant cicadas where their internal organs all fell off. So they got no junk. They got nothing, but they got their brains still alive and they're still like wandering like Dawn of the Dead cicadas trying to get laid.
All horned up.
Because they've been 17 years in the ground. And so they're like, wow, 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 wee. That's my cicada noise. Wow. Like, I don't know if that's the noise they make, but it sounds like there's a billion of them making the same noise. And it's amazing. And in our neighborhood, my wife, like a week ago, she's like, no, they're not bad here. Like, I don't know what the big fuss is. And then like one day she's like, oh, my God. And she showed me a picture in the backyard and there was like this one tree.
Yeah.
And the whole tree's covered in these disgusting bugs with these red eyes, all of whom are only trying to get laid. Travis, can I say that? That's what they're trying to do. And some of them don't have any junk, no apparatus with which to work, but which is an incredible cruelty.
Yeah.
17 years alive for 2 days.
Can't use it.
No junk. I mean, imagine the disdain when the female looks at him like, hey, bro, I hear you, like your game is really strong. Have you checked below the belt? You got no junk. On to the next. Like, I mean, but then they just like there's just dead cicadas everywhere. And it's just a circus, man.
It's crazy.
And if you live somewhere where this isn't happening, well then
sorry.
Just no, sorry, be happy.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound wow.
How are your kids? Will they go out and pick them up and stuff?
Yeah, Charlie, he's the one. Like he's interested in them. Like he'll pick them up and chuck them. He doesn't care. Like they don't freak him out. My daughter, she's not like running around trying to pick him up and make him be her friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, Charlie.
Fascinating. It really is. Are they really going to be here for 4 more weeks? I can't fathom that.
Travis, cicada count in Connecticut. Yes or no? You have them?
Zero. But I remember I went to the Memorial Tournament in high school once and they were out during the Memorial Tournament and it was bad. Constant during the golfing.
Yeah. Well, it's every 17 years. So I'm like, I'm trying to go back in time and remember like the other times that they were here. And it's not anything I filed away for memory.
You didn't live here.
I did when I was little.
Oh, yeah. You got a lot more 17 year windows than
That's for being old. You have like, you get like three or four shots at this. Yeah. And you're like, but I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Other than when I was really little, I remember that the part where the bug gets on the tree and then they come out of that, they come out of the shell. The
shell stays there.
And then, I remember walking around the trees and squishing the locust thing on the trees. I thought that was great fun. But now it's just a lot of bugs and they've got these beady red eyes and I feel like today's the peak. Like my wife went on a jog. She came back. She's like, the street over from us. She's like, you can't even believe how loud it is. Can't believe how many there are in trees. But yeah. I mean, I feel like our listeners, like in Connecticut, there's none. Now, I just think that means they're coming later.
Maybe. Go north, cicadas.
No, it's a small window.
Got a parenting question for you.
I feel like you and I really do well in this space. I feel like we're helpful. We offer help to people. Like, go ahead.
Well, this is a question.
Yep.
Fired up Monday.
Yep.
I'm taking the fam. First time Orioles game. Over under innings. We blast. 3.5.
For my lungs. The under. Okay. Couple things. Number one, you're bringing all three girls.
Yep.
Tell everybody how old your youngest one is.
About to be 2 in June.
Okay. We have oldest 7, youngest 2. The Orioles are in the middle of they've lost 14 of 15-ish. Yeah. They give up lots of runs.
Yeah.
They also are capable of scoring lots of runs. So that means 3.5 innings is probably upwards of 2 hours.
Okay.
I'm going high here, let's say it's minimum hour and a half.
Okay.
You're going to do the hot dogs, the popcorn, the drinks.
Ice cream for sure.
And a little helmet. Okay.
Oh,
great.
Oh, we'll go big helmet.
Great. Super. Now, okay. That's a half an inning. Now it's the top of the second. It's the top of the second. It's hot as balls. And someone's going to start whining about something. And that's when you're going to say, why are you crying? And then it's going to be time to load up the family truckster and head back down 95.
Okay.
Under for your lungs.
Under for your lungs.
Do we have something we hate? Because I do.
I do.
Okay. Roll the production.
Steve and I have lengthy lists. Talking about this guy or this thing or this whatever. Once a week. One thing a week.
Here's what I hate.
Steve, as always, you have the honor on this tee. What do you hate this week?
Well, it came back. I had it written down a couple weeks ago, and now it's back.
Okay.
And what I hate this week is people filming every single thing with their phone. And I get it. Everybody does it. But think about it. Think about the longevity of it. And I think about on 18 Sunday with Phil. The crowd is 20 people deep,
and you got
people holding their phones. What are you filming? The 10 guys in front of you, the top of their heads? You don't get anything. People at the draft, it's the best moment of your kid's life, and the family members are filming there. Hey, geniuses, it's on TV, okay? There's professional camera people all over the place. You don't need to film it with your freaking phone. Enjoy the moment. Get a little hug in. We could all be around each other now. Show some love. Stop video and everything. Take it all in. Enjoy your summer.
That's actually great advice. Be present in your present. You're never going to watch those videos anyway.
Never.
Especially those people that were 19 White Claws into their Sunday. You didn't even hit video. You have 7,000 still photos. It's in like portrait mode. It's not even a video.
No.
All right, look, the thing I hate, I gave it away earlier. But I'm going to say it. I hate Brad Marchand. Okay. I hate him. I hate him. God, I hate him. And but here's why I hate him, because he's awesome. I hate him because he's awesome. He's just he's always out there. Like he's scoring game tying goals. He's scoring game winning goals. And when he's not scoring game tying and game winning goals, he's almost scoring game tying and game winning goals. And he's pissing you off the whole time. And you, it just like it's different than Tom Wilson, because I get that people hate Tom Wilson, and there's and I'm not saying that Marchand has, although Marchand has done some silly things.
Yeah.
But if Wilson plays on your team, you're glad he does.
You love him.
But if he doesn't, you hate him. Mm-hmm. Marchand in a different way, but the same idea. I hate him, but I hate him because he's so freaking good. And good luck the rest of the way. Marchand and the Bees. And well, again, as we speak, it's Pens and Isles are playing, so it could be a closeout situation. So we don't know who you're going to get. I'll probably be maybe emotionally ready to start watching a little more hockey around then.
Okay.
But then you're just so bummed out. But you know what? The Bruins, look, it wasn't particularly close. Although, you know.
If you throw a couple shekels on a game, that'll get you to watch.
There you go. So that's
one more question.
Yeah.
Have you ever tasted an IPA?
That's a good question. I think I probably have.
I don't think you have.
No, I have. I've been somewhere with like they're like, hey, here's this one with an orange zest. And I'm like,
No. We got to get you to have an IPA because I think you will hate it so much. I just have a feeling. We're going to get you.
I'm a simple man.
Like, IPAs to Van Pelt.
I'm a simple man, Steve. I know you are.
And that's why, like the whole, you know, everybody's got a podcast. All these places have the seltzers now, and now everybody has IPAs. And I just think you should have a take on the IPA love.
They are
different.
Pour a little Tito's over some ice, squeeze some limes in there, and a little something, you know, and you're good. I'm a simple man. I feels like people are trying too hard with that stuff. Am I wrong? Do you like IPAs, Steve?
No.
See, there you go.
No.
And if it's not good enough for you, it ain't good enough for me.
All right.
Out there on the locust war, hang tough. Try to survive it. It ain't pretty. Live to fight another day. That's all we got this week. He's Stanford Steve. I'm Scott Van Pelt. Thanks for being with us.